And I'm just thankful that, you know, we're still doing the same thing. We're not changing the program. We're not changing the Bible. We're not changing any of those things. We're just coming in here and worshiping God, just like they started, just like they were doing back in Acts. We're still doing the same thing. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, the end of chapter 3. We're going to get into God's Word tonight. And I'm just thankful that we've got His Word to go on. We don't have to go on opinion. We don't have to go on church council. We don't have to go on, you know, that is one thing. When you hear about churches meeting together like we did yesterday as a conference, and then, you know, if they meet at a state level, meet at a national level, with, you know, with Free Will Baptists and other denominations, but we're not sitting around trying to figure out what do we believe. You know, we just go to the Bible. So we're not coming together and saying, well, society's changed here. Should we change with it? And half the crowd says maybe we should. The other half says maybe we shouldn't. You know what I say? We say the same thing that the Bible says. The half that doesn't believe in the Bible, you're going to have to go somewhere else because we're standing firm. So tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verse 14, 15, and 16. It says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I'm thankful for the wonderful time of worship we had this morning and already tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd use me. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Open up our hearts to your word. Guard my tongue. And Lord, help us to see the truth from your word tonight. Let it encourage us as we go back out into this world this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and he, you know, like we read in verse 4, Paul's hope is that he will come shortly to visit Timothy. He said, but if he tarries long, he says something interesting in verse 15. He says, if I tarry long, he's telling Timothy, you need to behave yourself in the house of God. And I don't, you know, sometimes you think, you read that and you think of maybe Timothy as being wild or something. That's not the case. But he's saying, you know, it's an important reminder. It's kind of just fit in there almost as an extra right there. You know, when you're in God's house, you got to behave yourself. I like that. I like where it says that, because many of problems have started because people don't behave themselves in church. And, you know, not only is it in Timothy, but you go over into Titus and he says there's going to be order in the church as well. So, but that's for another day. And then he talks about the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And then he goes on in verse 16, and I want to look at verse 16 tonight, the last one there. He goes on to tell Timothy about something that's without controversy. That's what he starts it out with. That means that they believed it. This is not something that they're debating. This is not something that's maybe or maybe not without. There's no controversy here in the early church. It was commonly believed. It wasn't a question. This is what was great, what was believed without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. He's talking about some mysteries, and he lists six of them, and these are truths that are here, and these are great truths that are here, but there's also some mystery in there, and I want to look at each one of them tonight. He starts out by saying God was manifest in the flesh. That's the first great thing that he talks about, the great truth. And I look at Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I don't know about you, but we can tell, the Bible says, that God has manifested Himself in nature, in His creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the beauty of the flowers in the springtime, the color of leaves in the fall, the snow in the winter, that brook really sees clearly, the rainbows, the oceans, everything manifests that there is a God. Everything manifests that there's a creator. and it just didn't happen like they try to believe. But not only did God manifest Himself in creation, but 2,000 years ago in a manger, God manifested Himself in the flesh. And that's what it's talking about. John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." People, they try to imagine what God looks like, and they create cartoons. You see it on Facebook sometimes of an old man with a white beard, but that's Santa Claus. That's not God. We know that Jesus Christ was a man, and the Bible says when you see Him, you've seen God the Father. That's, if you want to know what God looks like, it is Jesus Christ when He was on this earth. But I want to tell you something, that there are cults out there. There are anti-Christian. They want to try to be like Christ and try to deceive you and act like they're Christian. And they will tell you that Jesus was just a good man and maybe even the best example of a man that ever lived. But they refuse to believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh and God manifested in the flesh. And I'll prove it to you tonight. You know, the devil wants to attack that as one of the key things. And our Bible's clear. It says God was manifest in the flesh. But listen to the ASV. It says, "He who was manifest in the flesh." The Holman Christian Standard Bible, that's the one Lifeway, I believe, tries to peddle, says, "He was manifested in the flesh." The ESV and the RSV says, "He was manifested in the flesh." The Good News Translation says, "He appeared in human form." The Message says, "He appeared in a human body." The NASB says, "He who was revealed in the flesh." And the NIV says, "He appeared in the flesh." You know what the problem with all those translations, and that's a bunch of them. And a lot of people teach and preach out of a lot of those things, and some of those are even a fad in Free Will Baptist right now. But then I ask the question, when it says He appeared in the flesh or human body or whatever you want to say it, they all started with He. Who's He? Right? Who's He? I could say, I appeared in the flesh, right? I'm here, I have a human body, I'm a man, that's it. That's the only qualifications. Who is He talking about? We know they're talking about Jesus, but He didn't just appear in the flesh. Our Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. See, if you want to separate Jesus from being God, you can't say God was manifest in the flesh. You have to say He was. Big difference. Big difference. I'm telling you what, the devil wants to attack that. But I'm here to tell you that God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God and was also a man. He never ceased to be God, and He lived a holy life and a righteous life on this earth, and He never sinned, and there was no guile found in His mouth. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. That's the Jesus I trusted in, not some great teacher. There's been a lot of great teachers, but they're not going to save me from hell. It was Jesus Christ. The second thing, not only was God manifest in the flesh, but the second thing is He was justified in the Spirit. Jesus didn't just live, He wasn't just living a holy life on this earth, but He also died for our sins. But not only did He die for our sins, but He didn't stay dead. And that's the good part right there. Romans 1:4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." And then Romans chapter 8, 10 and 11. "And if Christ be in you," is that you tonight? "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." Hallelujah. "But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised Jesus up from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth within you." You realize something? When Jesus rose from the dead, that was a declaration that everything He said on this earth, everything on His ministry and life was true. It was a stamp of God's approval saying all of that was true. He said, "If I lay down my life and I take my life back up again," if He couldn't make that happen, then we couldn't believe anything He said. But there He was, standing in victory, risen from the dead. the payment for our sins, everything that He promised, the gift of eternal life that He promised, justification through His blood by faith, every single thing was verified as true when Jesus rose from the dead. And those verses in Romans say that the same Holy Spirit that brought Jesus back to life also brings up us to life as those in Christ, as Christians. He quickened our dead body. He gave us life with power and holiness and righteousness. I'm here to tell you, if we could go back to the cross, they were mocking Him at the cross. Oh, but then they marveled at the empty tomb a couple days later. They cheered when they laid Him in the grave. Oh, but the devil cried when they took away the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And I'm here to tell you, when He rose, that changed everything. Justified in the Spirit. Not only that, but the next thing it says is seen of angels. You realize if we look at the Bible, the angels announced the coming of Christ's birth. They ministered to Jesus after He was tempted in the wilderness. And when He was in agony, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, they ministered to Him. Jesus told Peter that He had more than 12 legions of angels that would defend Him from His enemies. They stood at the tomb when He had risen, saying, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He has risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And when Jesus ascended back into heaven, the angels asked the disciples, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Have been human witnesses all throughout the Bible of everything that Jesus said He would do. Right? Everything. We've got it all the way through. But not only do we have human witnesses, we also have angelic witnesses. We've got both throughout the Bible. They also have witnessed everything that's happened. And you know why I believe that is? See, God establishes truth through witnesses, doesn't He? And He does that on the human side so that no human can stand before Jesus and say, I never knew. I never believed that. It wasn't true, because He's got witnesses all throughout of everything that will happen. Let me tell you something. There is no angel that can say the same thing either. The ones that fell away and left with Satan and followed him, the third that were cast down, they can't go to God and say they weren't given a fair shake either, because the angels witnessed everything as well. So neither side can say, God, you're unfair. He'll say, you know what was unfair? Me giving my life for you. And I'm here to tell you, if you deny Jesus Christ, you are denying everything that is true. Yeah, right. Seen of the angels. Not only that, it gets better and better as we go. Preached unto the Gentiles. We could just stop and shout on this one. This is the entire reason why we're here tonight. Preach unto the Gentiles. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, when He commanded His disciples not only to preach to the Jews in the synagogue, but He also opened up the gospel to the Gentiles as well. From Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, to Peter preaching to the Roman soldier Cornelius, to Paul's missionary journeys where he planted new churches in Europe and Asia and the Middle East, and 2,000 years later, Brother Pete, we're still preaching the same thing. The Gentiles are still getting saved by the same mystery of godliness, the same Jesus Christ, the same gospel of God manifest in the flesh and justified in the Spirit. We are still we still have that today. And I'm glad that God, not He showed Himself to His chosen people like He said He would, but when they denied Him, we're given the chance to be adopted in and grafted in, and I say hallelujah for that. But I'm not only glad that He preached it to us, but everything I read in my Bible is He still has promises for Israel. We're not the new Israel. He's got things for them in store, and I don't understand it all, Brother Pete, but I'm glad the salvation plan that He's given to me, I said I like that, and God, I believe it, and He changed my life with it. Preached unto the Gentiles. Not only that, believed on in the world. God has offered eternal life, forgiveness of sins, a perfect plan for your life, precious promises, a lifeline through prayer. Scripture that is profitable for every day of our life. And you know what? It is a mystery. You know what I think the mystery is? Is that people don't believe on Jesus Christ after all He's done. Right? All that truth, all of that love, all of that mercy, all of it together. I think it's a mystery that people say, I don't want that. And they reject it and want to stay in bondage to this world. But you know what? You know what is a mystery? That you and I can give our lives, our entire lives over to believing in something that we didn't see. I wasn't there at the cross. I wasn't there to see the empty tomb or Him appearing with the others. And with, like we said in Sunday school, I wasn't there when Thomas believed. And God said, "There are you believe because you see me. There are ones that believe and don't see." And that's us today. And that's a mystery that we can put our whole trust and our whole life into that. And then you know what? We are trusting in Him to take us to a place that we've never seen either. And I say hallelujah for that. You know what the mystery is? That He can turn a hardened heart that is so stone, that is so rough, that is so callous. He, the Holy Spirit, can soften it up and then make it a fertile ground so the seed of the gospel goes in and it flourishes. I am so glad that God can change lives. When it talks about believing, preached under the gospels and then believed on in the world, it amazes me every time another person accepts Christ. I say hallelujah. It's a mystery how the devil has such a hold on somebody until the Holy Spirit can touch them, until His truth can touch their life, and then all of a sudden everything's different. I don't know how it happens, but I say praise God it does. Not only believed on in the world, but finally He says received up into glory. Acts 1:3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It is a, you know, it's a mystery to me that Jesus Christ, after they crucified Him, after they mocked Him, after they wanted Him dead for no reason, He came back to this world and showed Himself. That's a mystery to me why He would ever come back to this world. But He loves us. And He, even though they wanted Him dead and gone, He returned and He showed Himself alive. And Acts 1:3 says, by many infallible proofs. That means you cannot say that He didn't raise from the dead. There's too many proofs there, Brother B. Too many facts. You can't argue that He never rose from the dead. If He never rose from the dead, they would have produced a body already. And then one of the biggest questions is, how could any man change the course of time forever like Jesus had? They're still talking about Him. They're still mad at Him. They're still trying to forget Him. They're still trying to fight against Him. If He wasn't real, why all the fight? It's because the devil knows there's truth there. He knows this word is real. That's why he wants to attack it. He knows the church is real. That's why he wants us to quit. And He knows that testimony, that Holy Spirit in our heart. He knows there's power there, and there's truth there, and there is liberation there, and freedom there. And because of all that, He is still fighting us. Why would He fight something that doesn't exist so hard? Because it's real. Because it's real. Jesus is alive. If it were a hoax, somebody would have come forward by now. Somebody on a deathbed confession or one of the disciples would have said, I'm not going along with this game anymore. I'd go back to fishing, which they did for a little bit. But then, instead, we've got everything changing. Jesus is alive. And it's evidenced by many infallible proofs. And we see so many disciples where they were one way before and they're totally different afterward. And not only do I look at the disciples, but I look at my life. I look at how I was before and how I was afterward. There's a whole difference there. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He appeared to different people at different times. He ate and drank with them. He let them touch and handle Him. He appeared to more than 500 at once. He appeared in public and they watched Him ascend back into heaven. Jesus said, you saw me go back. It was real. And the Bible says, you can't say it's false. There's too many proofs.
Jesus returned to heaven. You know how he returned the second time as a triumphant king that has had victory in battle. That's how he took his place back in heaven on the throne, where he continues to sit today. In Psalm 24:7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. You know what one day is going to happen? I don't know if you've read Revelation chapter 4. I believe this applies to us just as it applied to John when he saw it. One of these days, you and I will be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And while we gaze on all the splendor and the glory of Jesus Christ, we're going to hear the same thing that John heard. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And as soon as John heard those words, we are going to fall down before him that sat upon the throne, and we will worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast our crown before the throne, and we will say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I believe you and I are going to do the same thing that John witnessed that day. Why? Because it's still going on today. Still going on, received up into glory. He's still alive today, and he's still on the throne today. The devil wants us to believe that he has no power. He has all power. In fact, the biggest show of power that God has is restraint. He's letting us do what we want to do. It amazes me that a God so powerful, he could so easily force us to do everything, yet he doesn't. Why? Because he doesn't want a relationship that's programmed and robotic. He wants one that's out of love. You can't force love. You can't force it.
That's true.
But you know what? I'm glad you think of a relationship that starts, and one side has to step out in faith, don't they? One side has to initiate. Let me give you a secret. That one side wasn't us. He started with the first step. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He made the first step out of love. And then we made the choice to take it and say, I want a relationship.
Amen.
My goodness. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I'll tell you what, I believe all that. It changed my life. And I stand here today because of all of that that's happened. And I look forward to the future of Jesus Christ because of what he has done and what he has promised to do that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing that in just one verse, God just sums it all up right there? The whole thing. But you know what? There's still a little bit of mystery to it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what I'm going to see when I get there.
Right.
But once I see it, it will be familiar. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to hear when I get there. But when I hear it, it won't be a strange sound or voice.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there completely. But when I start doing it, it'll feel like I've always done it.
Yeah.
That's a mystery, isn't it?
Sure.
And the fact that you and I have put our trust in someone we've never seen.
Yeah.
To come take us to a place we've never been. Uh-huh. And prepare a home that we've never seen. What a mystery it is. This world says you're crazy. But you know what I say is crazy? Giving all that up for anything else.
Yeah.
Ask everybody.